Hey there, podcast listener. Steven here from the podcast you're currently listening to. You ever heard a podcast and think, I can do that? Well, maybe you can, or maybe you can't. Or maybe I can help you get started with it. Hosting is the most expensive cost you'll have in a podcast, and that's why Anchor by Spotify is the easiest way to make a podcast. Really, they have everything you need all in one place. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. With Anchor's hosting, you can distribute your podcast to other listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and a whole lot more. And if you think you can do a better job than I, record a podcast right now. There's very low risk involved. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor is free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
My name is Catherine Janeway.
Prune juice, chilled.
Really the wrong podcast to talk like that.
River's looking at me like, oh, are we going outside? Are we going outside? Oh, you're just sitting back there. God damn it.
you just a bum? All right.
Because a lot of times when I go to use the restroom, I come out, she goes by the door, we go outside for a second, and she did the same thing looking at the door, and then as we sit down, just kind of had this look of like, you disgusting piece of shit. Like, thought we were doing something productive.
Tell that dog to fuck off, right?
All right. Welcome, everybody.
Yeah.
To the Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order. We discuss all the tropes, Mary Sue moments, and blatant racism within the franchise. That doesn't mean we don't love this franchise, but we love it enough to accept it and call out the silliness. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley. I just didn't know where to jump off from after the dog thing.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of like, all right, I guess we just kind of move off from there, you know?
Worst transition ever.
Segway. Oh, man. So we're going to do a little something a little different today. We kind of did it last week, so we're just going to continue it. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Lower Decks episode. This past week, which was episode Mugatu Gumaru, which was a freaking hilarious episode. Some even questionable content, I would imagine, you know, with
the blackface joke.
No, that was last week's, dude.
Oh, yeah, it was last week. Yeah. I'm so fixated on that because I thought it was so clever that they got that in there.
No, the. When Boimler and what's his name were hiding in the log, and the Mugatus, the threesome.
Oh yeah,
I was like, what's he gonna do? Oh, I think he just likes to watch. I was like, it's
amazing
my God.
What you can get away with PG these days.
Not to mention just being on a streaming service.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing is you have to pay for it to get it.
Right.
So you can do a little bit more.
Man. So the Cerritos has to go to a planet to do what they called animal control because a couple of Denobulans got attacked by a Mugatu, which is hilarious because that creature was actually in the original series. I think it was a Private Little War, something like that. So it was a hilarious throwback to that one. And then we got some Denobulans in it. She's like, the captain is all like, we got to do another animal control. Like, I thought we'd get a real mission.
It was a good episode, though. It had Ferengis in it, which is always good.
The old and school Ferengi?
Yeah. What did she say? You guys are throwback, like, pre-last outpost
Ferengis. The last outpost Ferengis. Because they were using the love, when they used they were using they the whips.
Oh yeah, yeah. I like when they do like direct callbacks to old shows or something or old episodes, but it makes sense because they did meet on the Last Outpost,
right?
So you can say
were,
that.
And the thing was is that those Ferengi were so different from the Ferengi after that.
Yeah,
and it was funny because yeah, she goes, "Are you like the Last Outpost Ferengi? Have you ever heard of Quark?" And they're like, "Of course we've heard of Quark." I was like, "Damn, oh man!" So it was hilarious because you had that, and then you had what was her name? The Orion chick. I always forget her name.
I always
Tendi?
Forget it.
Tendi, Divana, yeah. Divana. Divana has to, because T'Ana, the cat doctor, has Tendi go and get people for their physical that have been, you know, that skipped out on it. And then they're like, you need to be assertive because, you know, she was passive with it. Those doctors sounded like they were right straight out of ER. Like, yeah. We need 20 seasons of stat. She's like. So they're like, you need to be assertive. So she starts scouring the ship for all these people using all these different, different methods to try to catch them. But the one thing that I thought was hilarious was from the teaser when they did the Anobu Jitsu, that throwback to Riker's. to that Riker.
That shit was funny because she fucking threw down. And it was that little moment where she's like, she goes, like she's bleeding. Mm. And then Boimler's like, oh, so are you okay? She's like, no, I can finally cut loose. And the look on Boimler's face was like, oh, fuck.
I can finally get a real workout.
Yeah. She whooped the fucking shit out of those two. This shit was funny.
Because Boimler and Rutherford thought they had it because they had been practicing at night or something like that. Like they were while she's asleep to try to get better at her. And yeah, then she's like, I can finally get a real workout. And they're like, oh, shit. And she fucked them up early,
which was all a big setup for the main thing in the story anyway.
Yeah, because the bartender is telling them that she was a special black ops, she was a trained killing machine, and that she did, you know, that all these rumors about her. And what did they do? They show her using that Klingon knife and doing the little between the fingers thing that they did from Aliens. Like, I saw that. I was like, going, holy shit, they're using an Aliens reference.
Yeah, you know, that was cool.
She's like, man. And obviously, and then we found out that the bartender on the Cerritos is horrible at his job, especially with that one guy. He still hasn't got his drink.
If you don't want to be a bartender. I was laughing so hard. Dude, every episode of this show has made me fucking bust out laughing. Like, it's a really good show.
It is. It was hilarious. And this, and then, yeah, then they go down to they're dealing with these Ferengi, and then, you know, it was just, oh man, it was hilarious. Oh, what was it when they freaked out, when Boimler and Rutherford freaked out because they thought she was eating, she ate that dude's heart, the security officer's heart.
Yeah.
I'm like, we saw you tear out part of his heart. She's like, he got stabbed by some creature, and the only way she could do that was spit out the venom.
And they were like, oh. But the thing is it didn't, it really all, they never really fully addressed it, but they said, because she kind of goes, that's all it took for you to think I was some kind of super spy. But it all really was because she was beating the shit out of them in that fucking exercise. She's like, well, she must be, it must be true because of how good she is at fighting.
Well, when she caught up with them, and then Ruther goes, Section 31.
That should have me dying.
Because I was thinking Black Ops, like, oh, so Section 31. Then all of a sudden he screams out, Section 31. Jesus.
I love this show. Dude, this show is such a show that's like, does not give a fuck about new people watching it.
Oh no, not at all.
Even though you can, but it's still funny, but it's going to be funny for, you know, not for every reason that you think it would be.
Yeah, I was on Twitter, and I follow more Star Trek people than I do like politics or anything nowadays. And so I have,
which is good, Steven.
Yeah. So there are people that are, that was like going, They go, my husband and I are watching Lower Decks, and the last 3 years I spent with my husband introducing him to Star Trek is paying off. He's laughing at the old jokes on Lower Decks.
Yeah, I don't have that. My wife does not give a fuck about Star Trek. She either doesn't understand or she's just bored. Like, she doesn't want to watch it. And her mom used to watch it, which is weird because her mom barely speaks English. Hmm. But she used to watch it in English, and she liked it.
My mom used to watch the original Star Trek. She well, she liked Shatner.
Of course.
Of course.
The Shatner. Handsome devil that he was.
Oh, yeah. She didn't like Picard in the beginning, but she got over you know, she got over Picard's baldness. That was her big thing.
And then all of a sudden, it was his greatest quality.
What is this? Some woman online said, they go, guy can't complains about wearing a mask for 30 minutes. Obviously has never satisfied a woman orally. I was like, oh, yeah. Damn.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, there's really no other way to take that.
Mugatu Venom can have latent effects, so I'll need to check on you later in your quarters. I got my physical. I could heal you all night. When that was what the cat lady told the security officer.
I was like, oh, okay. I was like, oh, something special going on here. I forgot what I was going to say. But yeah, show was great. I get really excited. Like when I know it's Thursday and I'm like, yes. And I'll watch it. I usually have about 45 minutes before work after I drop off my kid to school. And I always, every Thursday, I watch Star Trek immediately.
Yeah,
there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah, usually on Thursday, I've been doing it to where I'll watch all my shows in a row. Because I'll wait on What If, and I'll watch it on Thursday, and then watch Lower Decks right after that. And usually because of the time I get off work, it ends up being 9 o'clock, which is midnight East Coast time, so that's when Apple releases Ted Lasso, so I can just kind of watch all three of them right in a row and be like,
I need to get on Ted Lasso. I need to catch up on Ted Lasso for sure.
Oh yeah, it's been great.
That's a good show. I've decided I'm gonna start trying to buy the Blu-rays of Star Trek.
Oh yeah.
Blu-ray sets, because you get the extra features and all that, and I only, very few shows would I give a fuck about the extra stuff on that, and Star Trek would be one of them. So
I'm thinking of they're releasing the first four of the original films in 4K. They're mm-hmm. doing Motion Picture and then Khan, Spock, and Voyage Home in 4K. It's like a big set. And I was thinking, you know, I might get that one because I want to upgrade to 4K, but also with the 4K, they give you Blu-ray and digital. Mm-hmm. So I was like, going, yeah, you know, I may end up grabbing that, and then when they do the rest of them, I'll probably do the same thing.
The TV in my living room is 4K. It does look really nice.
Yeah.
For movies, for TV, I don't.
Yeah, TV's not quite there yet. I don't.
Yeah, I don't really.
I wouldn't pay
it.
Extra for 4K on, like, because YouTube TV offers 4K, and I think it's Netflix offers 4K, and I'm like,
yeah, like we have Netflix for, like, they stream 4K, but it doesn't look any different to me.
Yeah.
I only really notice it in, like, a film, like if I'm watching, like, one of the Marvel movies on Disney or something like that. And where you really notice it is if you're watching an actual Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Streaming, I think, kind of lowers it streaming purposes.
Yeah, it's compressed, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why I kind of want to get another Blu-ray player. For like the few things that I just really like. Like I want to watch, I've never seen The Next Generation, the one where they've
oh, the upgrade.
Updated the fucking space stuff and all that. I've never seen that before.
Yeah,
because so
I figure now, you know, because around Black Friday, you can usually get a good 4K TV for next to nothing. So I figure grab one of those, gets a 4K player, and then just kind of, because I have a couple of Marvel movies that we bought in 4K. Because at the time, my brother and I were thinking, like, well, we'll upgrade to 4K. So we'll buy the 4K one because it comes with a Blu-ray and digital. So, you know, we don't have to rebuy it later.
Right.
So so I still have like Infinity War and Endgame in both 4K. And the ones I really like to see in 4K is like the Disney animated.
Because those things.
Yeah.
Because in Blu-ray, those things look, I mean, to be honest, because it's like that good.
I was watching Raya.
Oh, yeah.
The newer one.
Yeah.
And I still haven't seen it all the way through because I had to come do the podcast. But I was like, this is pretty dope. It has that Awkwafina chick in it.
Yeah. I thought that was a pretty good movie.
Yeah, I thought it was good. The fucking antagonist in that is an asshole.
Oh, I know.
Like, she's coming and she's like, oh, and he's stealing gems. It's like, bitch, you started this. You broke the fucking main one. I was like, fuck this bitch. Like, and it's not usual for me to talk to the TV, but I was like, fuck you. It's like, this is all your fault.
Oh, bitch. Like, fuck you, bitch.
Like, throwing shit at my TV.
It's like, what is dad watching the basketball game? No, he's watching Raya.
Yeah, that's right.
He's watching a Disney movie. Fuck this bitch. You're lucky you ain't here. These hands are free, bitch.
Yeah, she's a fucking asshole. Like, I just didn't. I couldn't. I'm not gonna. You know? I wasn't with it.
All right.
Let's roll into this week's episode.
The Breach.
Of Enterprise. The Breach.
On Wednesday in UPN.
First aired April 23rd of 2003.
UPN next Wednesday.
I'd rather die than be treated by him.
The situation is complicated.
Centuries of hatred.
I won't let that man die in my sickbay. Find a way to help him.
Lead to questions of loyalty.
I'm giving you an order.
I'm afraid I can't follow it.
A compelling all-new Enterprise. The Breach. Next week at 8, 7 Central.
And it is the, where is it? I saw it 2 seconds ago. Ugh. Production number is 47. I don't know. I was going to say something and I don't remember where it went. Oh yeah, it's season 2, episode 21. While Enterprise rescues 3 Denolian scientists from a planet under a new xenophobic government, Dr. Phlox must treat a patient with racist views against his people. This whole show, both the A and B storyline, is about racism.
Particularly Trip.
Trip is a racist. I'm just kidding. Actually, and the funny thing is, the humans aren't really involved in the racism.
No.
They're the ones that are over it. Like, they're just like, oh my God, I don't have time for this.
Shut the fuck up. Let's move. Let's do this.
So it's the other ones that have issues.
Get over yourself. Or get off the ship. That's the two options.
That's right. Into the teaser. And finally, she gets a little respect in these write-ups. While Ensign Hoshi Sato.
Nice.
Not just Hoshi. Like, come on, guys.
I wonder if somebody's listened to this podcast and then went through, like, Memory Alpha and started rewriting it.
What was so disrespectful is that one show just said Sato. I'm like, yeah. Guys.
It's like, come on.
Everyone else gets a full thing, but not her. Racism.
Texas treats women like shit. We don't. All right. Let's just give them some respect.
Ensign Hoshi Sato is visiting Dr. Phlox in sickbay. He hands her a tribble to hold for a moment, then takes it away from her and feeds the tribble to one of his other animals. That shit was funny too.
I was like, that kind of was jarring. Like, he's like, oh, it's cute, and then all of a sudden, rah, rah, rah. I was like, yeah. Holy shit! Like,
I thought it was funny because it was almost like he was subtly reminding her that just because you think something's cute doesn't mean it needs to be protected and everything else is shit. Like, I just thought it was funny.
It was just kind of like, you know, like you're hearing this scream. I was just like going, hey, just you have Phlox looking back at her. This is the real world, bitch. Right. Like, holy shit.
Much to Hoshi's dismay, though Phlox is oblivious to her distress.
She was like ready to cry.
Yeah, she was broken up about it. Hoshi leaves because she's also one of those people. Her character is one of those people that connects to things very quickly.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, this is fuzzy and cute. Therefore, I love it. Now.
It's like taking a kitten and like feeding it to an alligator. It's like,
oh, yeah. It's like, what the fuck?
What are you doing, man?
Hoshi leaves with a pad she brought with her, an urgent transmission from the Denolian Science Academy.
Here's a fucking letter for you, you sick beast.
This runs out crying. Which she intended to deliver to him. Once she leaves, Phlox reads the message and his facial expression grows grave.
Dun, dun, dun.
Act one. Fox, Captain Archer, Commander Trip Tucker, Lieutenant Malcolm Reed, and Ensign Travis Mayweather. So why is it Captain Archer? And then everyone else gets their full name. Like, it's the inconsistencies.
You don't really need Jonathan. It's like Captain Archer.
Yes, you do. Discuss the news of the situation room aboard Enterprise NX-01.
Is it really a room? Like, it's just a little,
it's like an alcove in the back. Yeah,
it's like a hutch, you know, where you used to have a dining room table, you know, like set apart for the rest of the kitchen.
and you never really eat there. It just collects junk. Yeah. Like, people just keep leaving shit on the table.
You know, it's like old textbooks and unused aquarium.
Right. I want to see them go right when they get there, they're clearing that fucking table off.
They're putting stacks of papers on another little hutch.
Some bullshit. They're putting stuff on chairs real quick.
Somebody holds up a half-eaten candy. Like, really, guys? Come on. The trash is right over there.
Is this who we are? Come on. The Denobian Science Academy.
As Trip wipes the chocolate from his mouth.
Right. The Denobian Science Academy has asked Enterprise to find three of their geologists in the caves of Xantoros, as that planet has a new government which has just declared that all off-worlders must leave the planet within 3 days. Captain Archer sends Tucker, Reed, and Mayweather on the mission to retrieve the Denoblian scientists. Since Mayweather has some caving experience, which makes no sense, by the way, out of all those people, the one who grew up on a spaceship has caving experience.
Well, he was doing all those climbing. River, Jesus. I mean, even she agrees at the outrage. She agrees at the outrage. But, like, remember he's done the – he did the climbing. Remember when they went on the planet for shore leave? But he always gets fucked up every time he does that shit.
Yeah, so he sucks at it.
I know. I was like going, oh, you're sending him and Tweedledee and Tweedledummer down there. I'm like going, oh, what could possibly go wrong? Yeah.
This is Dumb and Dumber 3 right now. That's right. What we're watching. Archer asks him to get some gear together. He sends Reed and Tucker – with them to comprise the away team. So it's kind of funny because when they're down there, it's almost like Mayweather was in charge.
Yeah.
Because he was the only one who knew what he was doing. They have 3 days to find the scientists.
And kind of showing off a little bit.
He was a little bit, bro. I don't blame him, but he was a little bit.
Hey, I just protected my brother's freighter last week, so...
Right.
I'm kind of big dick swinging right now. So
we don't know why his shirt was always ripped a little bit. Like, you could see his chest. It was a weird thing.
And the pants were extra tight. Like, the bulge was a little extra big in the front of the pants. Like
you were right.
Even you could even see Trip and Malcolm kind of keep their eyes keep shifting down to his crotch. Like, this is a little uncomfortable.
They have 3 days to find the scientists, or the Xantoran authorities will capture any off-worlders. Archer says if they don't find them within 36 hours, they must head back to the ship. Yep, 36 hours, 3 days, that adds up.
The math checks out.
Yeah, on the ground, Mayweather leads the team to the nearest cave entrance from the scientist's campsite. Despite Reed's lack of finding any life signs, they continue and at one point rappel down. Meanwhile, Enterprise overhears a communication between an alien transport ship and a Xantoran flight controller. They are having critical problems with a reactor leak, but the Xantorans won't allow them to land. Archer decides to assist. Phlox manages the multiple patients coming from the ship, though one of the wounded individuals gives him pause while Archer comes.
This is part of Archer's problem. He don't mind his own fucking business.
I mean... You just say, I feel that's human nature. You're not just gonna let a bunch of people die when you can stop them from dying. You know what I mean?
Obviously, he's not a conservative.
Obviously not.
Yeah, he'd be like,
I don't think anybody is in the Star Trek universe.
Be like, well, they're not us, so fuck them.
They're not my problem. Yeah, no, the Democrats won in the future.
Okay? Yeah.
Phlox manages the multiple patients. While Archer comes to get an update, he is surprised to find that this patient refuses treatment from Phlox.
Well, they changed that because before it was supposed to be he refused treatment because of his beliefs in medicine that all it does is going to allow Bill Gates of the future to track yeah. him. You know,
Space Bill Gates.
Space Bill Gates.
Just add space to the front.
Intergalactic Bill Gates.
That's right. Act two. Phlox explains to Archer outside sickbay the patient is Antaran, the traditional enemy of the Nanoblians with which they fought several wars. There was a lot of bad blood despite the last conflict happening 300 years ago. Phlox is adamant about respecting his wishes instead of simply sedating him to treat him. Archer, with the viewpoint of the Hippocratic Oath, orders him to treat the patient, but Phlox refuses, acting under Denoblian medical ethics, must respect the patient's wishes.
Which is kind of true because doctors like, well, we say you do this, yeah, but the patient has the final say. So when yeah. he says I need the patient's permission, I was like, yeah, it kind of does, you know?
Yeah, if a patient says no, fuck off. If they're in sound mind, you're not supposed to help them. Like, all right, fucking die then. I don't care.
All right, can we just put you in the shuttle bay so when you die, we just are in the torpedo bay and just launch you into space so I can free up the bed to someone else?
Right. It's like, you can die, just don't make a mess, okay? Right. Archer intends to talk to the Antaran, who I think it's Hudak.
Hudak.
Hudak. To make him aware of his situation and hoping he will allow Phlox to operate. Even if Phlox is able to overcome his first impression, the Antaran refuses to receive medical care from him, even at the expense of his life. Hudak encourages Archer to read about the history for his own context, noting that the Denoblian military tactics resulted in 20 million Antaran casualties. Sounds like the Antarans were losing that war.
Yeah.
Archer does look up the information and then talks to Phlox.
He looked it up on Space Wikipedia.
Yeah. Phlox says the situation is complicated due to the fact that Antarans are raised to fear and hate the Denoblians, and symmetrically,
That's an odd choice of words.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, I guess, but it's just a weird word to say. The Denoblians are raised to believe that Antarans are evil. Archer orders him to at least try to change the Antaran's mind by proving he is not what other people believe. It's what? Funny because Archer's like, I'm not ordering you to help. I'm ordering you to talk to him. You could still do that, right? I'm telling you, humans are fucking over it in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Any human that has to interact with the racism from both of these storylines, it's like rolling their eyes. I'm like, oh, fuck off.
It's like, really? You know? Come on. You've seen humans. We got over it. You guys need to get over it. One of the
racism's real, but space racism isn't. You know? And then there's clapping. You know?
American flag comes down. That's, you know?
Right. An eagle caws in space.
Space eagle.
Space eagle. Space bald eagle.
What's weird is that, you know, you hear like this, you know, what, I mean, they get into it later, but like hearing that, like, the Nanobulans killed like 20 million Antarans, I was like, fuck, dude, they're nice. I started thinking they're those serial killers. Like, everybody thinks they're all nice and polite and stuff like that. They're like, I would never have expected to kill half the crew. Like, you know,
I thought the same thing, but then I realized the Nanobulans aren't nice. They're optimistic. You can be optimistic. Hitler was optimistic. You know what I mean? Right. So then when I kind of put it in that context, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, we can be a powerful nation once we kill the Jews.
Like, you could definitely be glasses half full, you know, and still be an asshole. So I was like, that kind of puts it into perspective for me. The away team seems to be making progress when finding some Denoblian equipment containing rock samples on their way down, which is a plastic fucking pencil case from fucking Walmart. Keep it real, bro. Eventually, they reach the bottom of their descent and make their way through another tunnel, following interesting geological features for the best chance of finding the scientist. Yeah, which was funny because it was Reed that was like, well, these rocks here. I'm like, Reed wouldn't know shit about it. Stop. loses... then in a cavern with a small ledge, the three make their way carefully along the wall. Reed in front loses his balance and the other two follow, being tied together. All three slide several meters towards a very deep hole. Reed and Tucker slide off the edge, but Mayweather catches a crevice with his legs, breaking it, but stopping the fall. This is kind of G, too, because he was holding both of them up on a broken leg.
Right.
I was like, fuck, dude.
Actually, felt that. In the original script, it was actually his dick that stopped the fall, but because it's, you know, UPN and, you know, it was like showing during prime time, they had to change it to his foot.
Right, right, right. Either or makes sense. To be real.
He just put his shoe on it.
Well, this episode's kind of a short read. We're already in Act 3.
Yeah.
And a lot happens in this episode.
Well, a lot of it's action-oriented.
That's true, too. The A storyline is all action, really. Well, which would be the A storyline? Would it be the Phlox one?
The Phlox thing would be the A storyline.
Yeah, so
the B
storyline
is more action.
The B storyline is all action. Mayweather is in immense pain. Which he shows.
I like how he's all like, nah, I'm okay. He's like, I'll try to be G shit. You know, it's like, motherfucker, you ain't going anywhere.
Bro, if I was with him, I'd be like, you ain't okay. Shut the fuck up. Ain't nobody. Ain't no bitches out here. Quit tripping.
Hey, this ain't your brother's cargo ship, motherfucker.
Would just be a dick and be like, if you okay, then stand up.
Yeah.
Stand up, you stupid motherfucker. You ain't okay.
Yeah, stand up and hop on one leg.
Yeah.
The broken leg, mother.
Yeah, the other leg, you
Cause,
bitch.
Because you know you got to do that right after. Like, no, the other leg, bitch.
You can't do shit. Sit your ass down. Shut the fuck up. Sometimes you got to check a homie like that, too. Like, your pride's getting a little too big. And like, that's enough. All right? We don't have time for that. Mayweather is in immense pain as he supports the other two while they try to swing to the wall. This is a pretty tense scene, too. To get hold of it and fasten themselves. Tucker in the middle barely makes it to the wall and fastens himself when Mayweather lets go of the rope. So while I was watching this, I rewatched it because I was like, wait a minute. Because I think I was half paying attention at this point. And, you know, as one does.
Right.
And I was like, oh, shit. So before they fasten themselves to the wall, both of them motherfuckers were being supported by a broken leg.
Right.
I was like, holy shit. Like, that's kind of tough, dude. When they regroup.
You hear them. I have the power. As he's holding them up.
When they regroup, Tucker confirms the leg is broken. With torn ligaments. Mayweather can't keep up with them. So he stays behind. Yeah, he just stay cold chilling on the ledge.
I mean, after, like, how many times has he gone rock climbing or rappelling and he's always hurt something?
Honestly,
I'm like,
he's a fucking liability. Don't take him anywhere.
I was like going, your insurance must be through the fucking roof. Like,
I think the only time he didn't get hurt was when he was muscle when they went to pick up that dude.
Right.
And even then, he was about to get hurt.
he was about to help him.
Back on the Enterprise, Phlox goes to monitor the unconscious Antarian. The Antarian wakes and is immediately suspicious of Phlox. This Antarian's a dick, too.
Oh, I know.
Phlox tries to make small talk, but Hudok relentlessly turns his comments against him, accusing him of some motive. Hudok suspects Phlox will kill him, but Phlox denies it and has had enough. Going to the other side of the sickbay, Hudok provokes him, asking if he taught his children to hate Antarians like he was taught as a child. Phlox finally snaps, stating Hudok's people are the reason for the continued hostility, not his. Phlox leaves to go to the mess hall to cool down. And you know what's funny is this is a real thing, okay? And we can see it with some, just for instance.
Right.
You have some people. Are you sending me TikToks while we're doing a podcast? Get your life together, okay?
It's called multitasking, bitch.
You know, we have issues in America with the African-American community and, you know, they have obviously, for the lack of a better term, and I'll put it very lightly, they didn't get a fair shake in history here, okay?
Right.
But there are some people that focus on it so much that they – what happened in the past that they hurt themselves. You know, they keep themselves from progressing. And everybody knows that. There's just some people that do that. And this is a perfect example of that, where he's saying – where it's easier for the ones who committed the bad things to get over it because it didn't happen to them.
Right. You know because what I mean? Yeah, because the thing was is that it'd been what over 300 years, yeah. So it's that perpetual.
Now it's a folktale at this.
Yeah, point. And it's just like you know it's perpetual tale of how evil someone else is. It reminded me a lot of the Cold War. Like you heard, yeah. Like nobody's met any Russians, but they were told the Russians are evil. They eat their own children. You know, basically what they say the left does now. But it's you know it's like they're godless and. You know, you expected them to be like monsters and shit like that. And
it's funny too with the Cold War shit. I realized when I was a kid, I didn't like Russians, and I had no idea why. And I didn't even grow up in the fucking Cold War.
Yeah,
it just gets ingrained into a culture, and hate's a hard thing to get over.
Yeah,
when it's taught to you when you're a child, you know. But yeah, so this was I thought it was a good storyline. Is basically what I'm saying. Phlox leaves to go to the mess hall to cool down and soon encounters T'Pol. Sub-commander T'Pol, by the way. Don't put a rank. That's fine. He initially turns her away from his table, but then stops himself asking about the repairs.
He was kind of like, I prefer to be alone. Like
he's very curt when he's upset. You notice that? She asks about the patient. Which forces him to say he's dying to prove a point, which is a play on words, and I laughed, by the way. Because he said he's dying to prove a point. I'm like, I see what you did there.
I see what you did there.
He can understand his patient's point of view, though through the way he was raised. Phlox did everything possible to prevent his children from having the education he had about Antarans, to make them embrace other cultures. It becomes clearer why he is so upset by the irrational behavior of his patient. T'Pol compliments Phlox on his choice of parenting, but Phlox needs to leave. That was kind of worded weird. He didn't go fuck off and leave. He had to leave. So yeah. He excused himself from the table.
Yo, man, I got bounce. So
yeah, see. Nobody just leaves from T'Pol's presence. They're very polite before they leave. It's weird because, like, are they nice to T'Pol because she's hot, or are they nice to T'Pol because she's the oldest person on the ship?
I think they're nice because she's the. I can't think it's a bit of both.
Yeah,
because you know,
because she's smarter than everybody.
Yeah,
so they kind of like you know bow to her wisdom and that ass. You Tucker and Reed must press on, and after crawling through a particularly tight passage, listen, we've all been there. Eventually find the scientist and explain the situation with the Xantarans. However, despite the fact that it was the Denoblian Science Academy that made the order to recall them, the three Denoblians refused to leave and go about their business. By the way, these Denoblians are very Denoblian. They're very like, well, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
It's, no, we're fine here. Like, I feel like it's good we didn't get too much of the Denoblians because it's kind of annoying. To be honest, like anytime we ever interact or see a Denoblian that isn't Phlox, it's this like holier than thou attitude. You know, I think Phlox just worked with humans for a while. So he doesn't do it. But I'm kind of like, maybe the Antarans are right. That's fucking annoying. You know,
I think it's that optimism that makes him kind of annoying.
Yeah, because it's a dire situation and optimism's fine. The optimism never bothers me. But when that optimism gets in the way of practical thinking, it can be annoying. Like you're like, all right, man. Like I get it. You know, everything's rainbow and sunshine, but we gotta fucking go. You know?
Yeah, I get it. You're better than everybody. We got it, all right.
And most people enjoy being miserable too, so optimistic people don't get along with people that much. Act four. But actually it reminds me, there was this girl in school. When I was in school, and she was a very optimistic, very sweet, you know, always saw the sunny side of things and stuff. And she was a Mormon chick, but didn't push it on anybody. She's a really nice girl, and I would always be nice to her. She was nice. People would fucking dog her out. What are you so fucking happy about? And I'd be like, what is wrong with everybody? Like, fuck off. It's all that misery loves company shit.
Yeah.
You know, and then one day she snapped. And she was like,
they're always do.
She's like, I've been nothing but nice to you people, but you're all fucking assholes. Get the fuck away from me. I was like, she's about to shoot you. You move, check that bag real quick. But she was just crying and then ran to seminary because there was a Mormon church in Arizona. There is a Mormon church across the street from almost every high school, and they'll have a class called seminary where you're allowed to leave campus and go to that church for religious teaching if you want to. And a lot of the Mormon parents, it was only Mormons. There's no Catholic. They don't do that. If you want Catholic education, go to a Catholic high school.
Right.
Yeah. But it was weird. I used to ditch class and go to the seminary class sometimes just to see what they were talking about. And it was just a typical, you know, Jesus is the shit kind of stuff. But yeah, anyway, I digress from what I was talking about. Tucker and Reed are emphatic about not leaving without them.
Dude, they were like, get your shit and get the fuck out.
They came in like the big dick swinging. Like, no, we leaving, pimp. Nah, I don't get all that bullshit. We out.
But they did.
No one listened.
The Denobelians didn't take him seriously because Mayweather wasn't there. He's the muscle. Mm-hmm. That's why they
everybody knows. If you really pay attention to Enterprise, Mayweather's running the show.
Yeah.
People who don't know don't know, but he's he's running it. Right. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Even Mayweather is up there going, they ain't gonna do it because I'm not there. I know they're gonna fuck this up because I'm not there.
Gonna listen to them because I'm not there to silently do nothing.
Because he doesn't have to. All he has to do is just stare. Right. And then we're like, we'll gather our shit. We'll be out of here in a minute.
That's right. They're just, you know, the Denobelians are just secretly racist. And a black dude shows up and like, we don't want no trouble. Okay? Fucked up.
Here, just take our money.
Tucker Reed are emphatic about not leaving without them, as they will be held responsible for not retrieving them. The three, however,
I was expecting Trip to go, dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Like, that's right. Three, however, are not concerned about the situation on the surface, saying that the government changes often and the situation will probably resolve itself by the time they are done. Also, the Denobelian Science Academy would accept the risk given what they've already achieved. They do admit that Tucker and Reed can be satisfied that they warn them, though. Tucker will not accept this, saying they've risked their lives to get to them.
Okay, and I have fucked up a lot of shit this month. I don't need this on my list. I'm going to complete this mission.
You know what? It kind of this whole situation reminded me of when the military shows up they tell civilians, "This is what we need to do."
Yeah.
And the civilians are like, "Oh, but we don't want to. Do we have to?" And that's not how the military thinks. They're like, "I have orders to move you from this location to that location. I don't know why we're talking."
I don't. You know this what I isn't mean? Up for a discussion. Like,
right? And you will move, or I will move you.
it reminds me of those people that you always see in the. And this is always what bothers me when we have like. The natural disasters things, it's the people that do this are the ones that don't want to wear a mask or the ones that don't want to get the vaccine. Those are the ones that are like, I'm not going to leave because of a hurricane. I need to protect my house. Like, motherfucker, it's a hurricane. What are you going to do?
Are you going to tell the hurricane to fuck off?
Right.
You know what you do is you stand on your roof and remind the hurricane that you're a sovereign citizen. And the hurricane just goes right around your house.
Hey, this is America. Right.
Yeah, this is America. You take that somewhere else. American flag.
Can I speak to your manager?
No, Karen. Fuck out of here. Anyway, I feel like every episode turns into us talking about anti-maskers or fucking something along that line. Phlox decides to engage. No, he didn't, because I'm too far along. They do admit that Tucker and Reed can be sad. Tucker will not accept this, saying they've risked their lives. Okay, good. He said Tucker threatened to tie them up and drag them before they finally decided to go. Yeah, he started threatening violence. So they were like, okay, all right, we'll go. It's fine. They're just scientists, you know?
Will start by breaking every finger on your right hand, and then I will move to your left hand.
That reminds me of one of the coldest fucking scenes in a movie I've ever seen was in what was that movie? The comic book movie with the smiley face.
Watchmen?
Yeah, Watchmen. When fucking Rorschach was in the bar and he just grabs dude's finger and he's just snapping. fingers because he's not answering. But he did it like with nothing. He wasn't even flinching. He was just like not answering me. Click. I was like, holy shit. That's some cold shit, dude.
Cold-blooded.
Phlox talks to Hudak again about starting the procedure, and Hudak denies it again. Phlox decides to engage him then, continuing their discussion earlier. He tells him about his own nightmares through his grandmother's stories about Antarans and the opposite way he raised his children, teaching them to judge for themselves. He also reveals that a rift formed with his youngest son, Metis, who had been seduced by certain Denobian groups that held on to those archaic beliefs. He then challenges Hudak to do the same and accept the treatment to set an example for his children.
This whole bit.
Like, it was really good. Yeah.
My son and I had a rift. He bought a red hat and started wearing it.
And he knows I steady Crip. Like, what the fuck? After some reflection, Hudak finally does and calls Phlox to say he believes Phlox's sincerity and accepts treatment. So I thought this was really good, and something that happens, and we see, I mean, I know the show is from 2003, but we're seeing this in modern times where you have someone in a family or people in a family who they believe a different thing and it causes a rift and they don't want to talk to each other anymore. And it's sad to see, really.
Yeah.
And also you can see how
it's a timeless thing. Really?
Yeah, you can see how even someone who is properly parented and brought up with the right ideals and all that can be seduced
by the dark side of the Force.
That's right, by bullshit. And that is a tale as old as time. It's all Star Wars is about.
Yeah.
Since you brought it up, Star Wars is about decent people being seduced because it's like, hey, everything should be about you.
Right.
Not about everybody else. I mean, shit, that's what the Bible's about. Shit keeps going back and back.
It's what Disney's about, because you said it's a tale all this time, and I was like, all this time.
Every time someone says tale as old as time, I hear that fucking teapot. Tale is held to time. And the Beast. I just want to see the Beast like, I'm in love with Belle and that fat ass. You feel me? I'd be like, what the fuck?
I'm in love with Belle. That ass.
That's right.
The booty trap. What that mouth do, though?
Jesus Christ. Oh, Tucker and Reed follow the scientists through the tight passage earlier. Tucker threatens to shoot again when one of the scientists pauses for another rock. This shit was funny. I will shoot you in the ass.
Died when he said, I will shoot you in the ass.
He was like, he's had enough, bro. Then the cave rumbles in. That gets everyone moving fast. Yeah, everybody was really moving after that. They get to the rope again.
Shoot you in the ass.
They get to the rope again, and Reed suspects it is weapons fire. Indeed, the Enterprise detects the shooting, and Archer hails the governor for answers. Since they still have 90 minutes before his deadline, it appears neither his crew nor the Denoblians are on the target. The old regime wants to fight back, not accepting the new government. Archer threatens the governor to stop firing, or Enterprise will fire on his patrons. The governor relents, relieving Tucker and Reed to finish their climbing. Interestingly, the Denoblians can climb the particular flat wall with great ease on their own with no gear. Oh yeah, it's like you didn't have any climbing gear. And they're like, no, we just climbed down. Right, fuck you then. You want to go through the thing? You can see Tucker wanted to slap him up, but he's so annoyed with these people.
He's like, oh, you didn't use it. I know. It's like, I would just.
Tucker's the perfect personality that would be against an optimist.
Right.
Because he complains a lot. That's how he gets through things. He just whines about it. Like, he'll fix it, but he'll whine about
he'll
it.
He'll bitch about it the entire way through.
Right.
He did look like he was like, I want to beat the shit out of you.
He had that look. It's and it always looks the same. It's the eyes are open a little bit more than usual, and the mouth is just slightly open. And you're just like, what the fuck?
These fists are rated free for everyone. Are rated E for everyone.
Like, you ain't going to be needing to worry about climbing up this fucking mountain. I'm going to throw your bitch ass off. They retrieve Mayweather. And reach the shuttle with the loss of only a few more samples. They get back to Enterprise with the patrol ship on their tail. Archer escorts Hudak.
Who that is? That's just my baby daddy.
Hudak to the transporter. Remarking the unfortunate circumstance that cut off his research. He tells Hudak that the three geologists that came to rescue are also on the transport and asks if that's a problem. Hudak seems to have made clear progress in his perception of the Denolians, as he is willing to share the same transport if they are. Archer has already talked with them, and they agreed. Late in sickbay, Phlox realizes that indifference to hatred also had its part to play in the continuation of the myths about the Antarans, and he decided to try once more to reach his son by writing him a letter containing his recent experience. It's definitely the Cold War shit, because and that's the main point at the end. It's not that they hate each other. It's they're indifferent. They're not questioning 300 years later. Like, why do we still hate these people?
Right.
Like, none of the people that were involved in this on both sides are alive anymore.
Yeah.
Why? What do the current people think? You know what I mean? And it's true. I mean, that's a very, I know we're talking about aliens, but Star Trek, they love to take, you know, aspects of human culture and human psyche and human condition and kind of put them on display. And that's definitely
negative. How you do it is you put it on display through aliens.
Exactly. Because then it's safe.
Right.
People don't be like, what are you fucking talking about? You know, but it's for people who actually know how to pay attention to the nuances of stories. It's definitely something we see today and in the distant past and the not so distant past. But I think your example of the Cold War was spot on, because that's exactly what it was. It was just, I remember my grandfather used to tell me that they used to do the drills in high school where you ducked under the desk.
Yeah, and we did too.
He said he admitted and he said that it was obviously stupid, but him and his friends hated Russians. They would sit around and talk about how the Soviets were fucking soulless animals and shit, because that's what that was, you know, that was the propaganda.
Yeah.
And they probably, I'm sure the Russians or the Soviets, however you want to say it now, said the same fucking shit because their government was telling them the same shit. Yeah. And then eventually nowadays people are like, why do we hate the Russians? You know, I think now we live in a better world because now if you say, oh, fucking Russia, no one's talking about the citizens of Russia anymore.
Right.
Or when someone says, ugh, America, they're talking about the government.
Yeah.
And that's different. Fuck the government. You know, let's talk shit about that. Even fucking Putin himself said, I don't agree with the American government. Their people look fine.
Yeah. And that's usually you'll hear the same thing from like Muslim fundamentalists. They're like, we love Americans. It's like, we hate your government.
Yeah, because our government meddles.
Yeah.
We're not meddling. We're just minding our own business. So,
we love Americans. We just hate your government. No.
Stupid. I do think that we've made progress as a species when it comes to that. That we're now focused on who the actual entity that's making the decisions is and not going, oh, you know, this president did this one thing. That means all 300 million people in that country are fucking trash. Like, that doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? Unless you're French, then you all fucking suck. I'm just kidding. I just picked a random country. I just wanted to make a joke. I love French women. I don't know many men, but the women are great. Production notes, ladies and gentlemen. You know the drill. I'm going to read these off. You're going to listen to them, okay? The style of backpack used by the Enterprise crew members in the cave was the Bobbleby Megalopolis backpack. That's great.
I thought those lights were a bit hampering.
Lights?
Yeah, you know, when they on those backpacks, the rods that came up with the lights attached to them.
Yeah, I thought those
were a bit cumbersome. Like,
I mean, I'm looking up the backpacks. I don't even know what the fuck they're talking about. Oh, it's like a hiking backpack.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. It's basically what they were spelunking or whatever. And also, they were doing cave. No, not one person said the word spelunking. Not only is that inaccurate, it's also a missed opportunity. That word's fucking amazing. You know, let's be real. The containers carrying the Denoblian rock samples were actually Space Maker pencil cases. I fucking told you. Used by children from school. I remember those fucking cases. big ass, bulky ass case. I always thought it was funny. People, like, I had a pencil bag, but it was a bag. It was like a canvas bag that held my pencils, pens, and highlighters and shit.
Oh yeah, I remember.
Then you'd have cats with these big ass plastic fucking boxes. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why do you have that in your backpack?
I'm like, what the fuck?
What the fuck? Dumb motherfucker. That was me when I was.
What the fuck, man?
And then for a minute.
It's like you're talking normally, then all of a sudden I was like, what the fuck?
What the fuck? I don't know why I did that. For a minute, just to be fucking bougie, I was at the store one time and it was made out of canvas, but it was a pencil holder that you rolled out.
Of course. So
I'm like, I'm going to be that guy right here. And I fucking got it. It was like 10 bucks, dude. And I fucking grabbed it. I was like, oh, let me get it. You need a pencil, bro? I got you. Rolling out. And like, this motherfucker thinks he's the shit. Like, I am the shit. Phlox actor John Billingsley had mixed feelings about this episode. He noted that while Phlox was created with a Zen-like plasticity, it was understandable that the writers would try to find some more conflict. However, he argued, quote, I think coming up with an episode where Denobulans were once war criminals, there was still this credible anger that had not been resolved. It seemed to me, at least, and maybe some of the fans too, a little too jarring, a little too difficult to jive with what we knew about Phlox. A little bit had been alluded to in the first seasons, hearing in one episode that he'd been a medic in the Denobulan infantry, but there were aspects of that script that didn't quite work for me. Nonetheless, Billingsley believed this episode enabled himself and guest star Henry Stram to find some good stuff. I agree with what he says here.
Yeah.
I think the most shocking part of the show wasn't the racism itself, but who was not to blame, but the whole show had been showing us how these peace loving fucking multiple wives, like, it just sounds like they're just all about happiness and being free.
And then they murdered like 20 million people. You're like, really? Like,
they were space Nazis. Like, but 300 years ago, it's not entirely, you know, hard to believe,
right?
If you think about it, you know. John Billingsley additionally praised director Robert Duncan McNeil, stating, quote, he did a terrific job in that episode, keeping all from us getting overly mawkish. What does that mean, mawkish?
Mawkish. I think overly, I think it means like probably melodramatic is what I'm going to assume.
I'm thinking that too, but I'm going to look it up. I want to know if we're right to justify our existence. Sentimental in a feeble or sickly way. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Melodramatic.
In a contrived or off-putting way.
Yeah, so basically artificial, like something that really wouldn't be happening.
Chewing the scenery kind of thing.
Right, right, right. The first and only appearance.
I'm going for an Emmy this season.
No, Shatner's not on this one. The first and only appearance of a Tribble in Star Trek Enterprise takes place during the teaser of this episode. I like this episode. I do agree with what Billingsley said, that it was a little... Honestly, it would have been more believable if it was T'Pol, like it was happening to T'Pol.
Yeah.
Because we know that the Vulcans have overstepped and done some fucking wacky shit. I mean, look at all the stuff with the Andorians and stuff like that.
True.
But it wasn't complete. Like, it was jarring at first, but then I'm like, okay, well, we don't know much about the Denobulans.
Right.
We've only met one.
I think, yeah. And,
well, two at this point because of his wife or whatever. But.
Right. I think it does kind of step into the line of being jarring, because it's like all we've known is his passive attitude. His like, oh, yeah, everything's fine, everything's cool. And
yeah,
then,
it doesn't seem like a species that would murder 20 million
people. But then at the same time, you know, the way he presents that he grew up this way, giving his his family a chance to like know people to do that, I was kind of like, okay, that kind of offsets the thing of saying that that's not him, that was his. You know,
right.
His
they gave you,
past.
They did enough storytelling to let you know, like, okay, we didn't see this coming because he was anti that sentiment.
Right.
You know? Like, so of course he's not going to be like that, but right. he did mention that there are Denobulans that still believe this and are hardcore about it.
Yeah. It's like, look, I, I embraced New Worlds. I didn't teach my kids any of that stuff. I listened to NPR. Like, I'm a good person.
Yeah, exactly. Space NPR. And the thing is, too.
Space NPR, yeah.
Is when you think about it, he was a member of the medical exchange program. Like, right. He's all about.
Inclusive.
And he talked about how much he loved humans. Like, he thought humans were fascinating, you know, and he's a different breed, right. I think. And we need more people like that.
Yeah.
To be honest, it was a very layered episode. If you sit back to think about it, there's a lot going on that isn't said. So I think the writers were
new. And there's a lot more going on that is said.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to sound poignant now.
Particularly Tripp's attitude towards a Denobulan.
Yo, it wasn't that transcended racism. Tripp was annoyed. He didn't get the fuck.
I will shoot you in the ass.
It was just so funny because. I thought that whole storyline – this was an episode where both storylines were good. But I like that down there because it did – like I said, it was like military dealing with civilians.
Right.
Like it's like I don't have – we're not discussing this. Like you're doing what I'm saying. You know, it's kind of funny because all those, you know, crazy alt-right people who want martial law, it's like you have no idea. You don't want the military in control.
Yeah.
You will never be able to speak. Like if the military isn't trained to deal with civilians and deal with your fucking personal freedoms. Like if you come I would love to see like an alt-right cat come up to a space that a Marine is standing at and the Marine goes, "You can't come in here." And then the person starts popping off.
I'm a sovereign citizen right. through the Magna Carta. The Marine
might say one or two more times, "You are not authorized to come in here." And then the alt-right dude takes one step forward and gets hit with the butt of a fucking rifle. And then the Marine goes, "As I said, you're not allowed to come in here." You know, it's a whole different world.
Yeah.
You know, martial law, you don't get to talk. You do exactly. And usually in a decent country, if the military's in control, it's because there's a serious situation going on and they just need to move people. Well, and they don't have time for people to make decisions for themselves.
I mean, you just think about it and look at the whole thing with the back to blue. They all backed the blue. The blue was cool. The blue is fair until the Capitol Police stood up against them. And now it's like, no, we don't back the blue. You're supposed to be with us. Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's self-serving. Hmm? Like everything these days. Everyone, all those like hyper Christians, just read the Bible.
It's like 7-Eleven now.
7-Eleven.
Yeah, 7-Eleven. When you want to buy stuff, when you want to buy a hot dog, it's all self serve now.
Oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah, I never existed in a time where 7-Eleven was not self serve. That's why I was like, what?
Huh. Like, well, no, like when you wanted when you wanted a hot dog, they would, you know, put it really? In the yeah. Here it's the bread's all, you know, bagged and you open it and do it everything yourself.
You know what's funny? Arizona and LA are kind of funny when it comes to 7-Elevens and Circle K's. So LA, there are tons of 7-Elevens.
There used to be a ton of Circle K's out here.
Right. So right now there's tons of 7-Elevens and you might see a Circle K sometimes. In Arizona, it's exact opposite. Circle K's fucking everywhere. I can never find a 7-Eleven. And there used to be more of them, but they closed them down.
Hmm.
It's really weird. But we also have Quick Trip, which is very popular here because they have more drinks. They actually don't. Like they have more fountain drinks, but I don't like fountain drinks. I like the drinks that are like in the cooler.
Oh yeah.
And they don't, their choices there suck. So it gets on my nerve, but their food's better, I guess. But I mean, if you're eating at a gas station, who really fucking cares about the quality?
It's like what we were at work, we were talking about the satellite. I was like, I'll probably just get a hot dog. And then the coworker goes, don't get the hamburger sliders. They're garbage. And I go, nope. I go, really? And he goes, yeah. He goes, they're pretty shitty. I go, well, I mean, sliders. I go, I kind of rank that up there with gas station sushi. And then he's like, yeah, pretty much.
You have to. I mean,
if you're getting sushi at a gas station, you need to do a quick analysis of your life.
Yeah. What do you feel is important in your life? Because it ain't yourself. Or egg salad sandwich. Get the fuck away from me. I can't. I will never trust someone who buys an egg salad sandwich from a gas station. Like egg salad sandwich, I don't personally like.
Egg salad or tuna?
Tuna, yeah. I don't personally like an egg salad sandwich anyway. But if you buy one at a restaurant, that's fine. It's just your personal choice. If you buy one at a gas station, you don't want to live on this planet. Like, that's just nasty, bro. I'm not buying any kind of fucking seafood.
It's a cry for help is what it is.
It really is. You know, like Quick Trip's pretty dope because they have a thing inside the Quick Trip that cooks food. Now, when I say cooks food, it was frozen and they put it in the heater. Right. Okay. But they do make pizza. And pizza essentially is that anyway. They put it in the pizza oven.
Yeah.
And my friend goes, well, they cook it in a pizza oven. So, you know, it's just as good as any other pizza. I go, hold on. Are you all right? Is someone forcing you to say this? And I was like, he said it again. I go, what the fuck? Let me explain something to you. And then my friend goes, uh-oh. You just told someone from New England that gas station pizza is the same as every – I said, let me explain to you what the difference is here, okay? It's time of cook and what kind of oven it is, all right? And what's the temperature? I went into it, dude. I was like, you're trash. And then it ended up being that day I took him to like one of the few – that's one thing about Arizona. There's not many places that make a good pizza here. But one of the few that really does – I was like, come on, we're going to go get some pizza. And we went, and he's like, why are we waiting so long? And I'm like, because that's how you're supposed to be, okay? he got that pizza. He goes, everything you said was true, and I'm a moron. I go, yeah, that's right.
Say it again, but slower.
Yeah. Say it to my dick. It's like, what? You fucking heard me.
And keep saying it while it strokes your face. Heard me,
fucking bitch.
And keep saying it while it strokes your face.
So next week's episode is Cogenitor. Enterprise encounters the Visians, a race that includes a third gender of Cogenitors who are treated as second-class citizens. Oh, this is very timely. So it's the trans episode, basically.
Right.
Star Trek, and honestly, all jokes aside, it pretty much is. I remember this episode. Star Trek's always so ahead of the times, dude, when it comes to the topics.
This wasn't the woke Star Trek like it is now. Remember, this was, you know.
This Star Trek wasn't political.
Right, this Star Trek wasn't political. It wasn't woke, you know. It didn't.
You know what's funny? And it's, I watch.
It's like Rage Against Machine. They're just shitty now that they're political.
Right. Right. I watch the new style, like Discovery. I feel Discovery's less political than the old Star Trek was.
The only difference is because they included gay characters.
Yeah,
they've just added. But the storylines are actually less political than.
Are they more dramatic? Yes.
Yeah.
But that's just how television is. That's a cultural thing. That has nothing to do with Star Trek.
See, the thing is that, you know, because it's so woke now, because now they include gay characters, and people don't like that. They like to have the occasional gay character come in, but then it's not in there.
Yeah, that they want a token gay character. Yeah. They don't want one to be important.
Right.
Like, it's so funny to me because I watch, like, new television shows or movies or whatever, and I don't really notice that everybody's different until somebody says something. And I remember and this is the thing. When you grow up in big cities, diversity is not as big of a deal because the majority of the people that are complaining about this shit live in fucking Nebraska or something. You know, they don't see – it's just a
one
sea
stop of white folks. One stoplight towns.
You know what I mean? And it's like they were bringing that up for Discovery. And it was you that said it. I don't know if you remember this conversation. You pointed out what the issue was. And they were talking shit about Michael. Michael this, Michael that. And it's a forced – they're forcing this on it. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with Michael? I don't fucking understand what's going on. And you were the one saying she's black. Yeah. It's a black woman as the main character. And I go, wow, that's really the fucking issue?
Yeah.
Like in 2000 – what was it, 19 at the time?
Yeah.
And I'm like, it makes you sick when you really think about it. Like get these people – to fuck off again.
Because the thing is they'll always say, oh, it's not that. It's like, yeah, it is. It's like, what is it? They're forcing diversity on us. It's like, really? You're going to go to your office and you're going to tell me there's no forced diversity there?
Well, here's the problem, too, is it was forced diversity. Oh, and more people, and it's very telling, more people complain that she was a woman than that she was black. Because honestly, women are it's silently one of the worst fucking treated groups on the planet for thousands of years.
And if you don't believe us, just look at Texas.
Oh, and I was like, how is this forced? Because they're there?
Yeah.
It's not like she's on the show going, I'm a woman.
Yeah.
I'm also black. You know? No. And it's Star Trek, you fucking idiot. There's a dude in the back who's got like fish face.
They're more comfortable with a black man than they were a black woman.
Fuck out of here, dude. It's and I remember all the
analogies.
I
still remember some of that when Janeway was announced.
Janeway, yeah. That was big then, too. And I didn't get it back then either. And I was a fucking kid. I was like, what's wrong with Janeway? I think she's cool. Nope.
Yeah.
She's not cool because it's a woman. It's a woman in a leadership role. Get the fuck out of here. Like, seriously, the things that people worry about is so fucking annoying, you know? And then I end up feeling stupid because I didn't notice it right at first. I'm like, what is the issue? And then someone will tell me what the issue is. I'm like, get the fuck. I got better things to worry about.
I know.
Michael, I forget the actress's name. You can't say she don't know how to act. Very well acted. She embodies that fucking character.
And her emotions can switch on a dime.
Her emotions can switch. Her facial expressions. She really does pull me into a scene.
To that that episode in season two when they went to that exchange when she first met Book and they gave her that serum, that like.
Yeah.
True serum, and then she goes through like the whole last two seasons of the show, and her emotions are kind of going all over this. I was like, "Fuck, dude!"
It was pretty amazing. But I'm gonna say like this: listen, we all throw out a couple jokes. I know. I've said on occasion about Michael's character, like where she gets that kind of like look on her face, and like, "Uh oh." You know, right. Black chicks don't fuck around, bro. You know what I mean?
Right.
But this is just jokes. Yeah, I'm not. I don't actually think she's a bad person. It was just fucking weird how people. Compartmentalize the world, and it just seems a lot of wasted fucking energy.
It is. A lot of this shit is just like, just forget about it. Don't think about it. Your life would be so much happier.
I don't fucking care. Like about the shit that people care about, you know, and it's embarrassing because 9 times out of 10, the people that are doing it the worst are people my age. Like, yeah. What are you doing? You grew up in the fucking 90s, you idiot. Acting like you grew up in the 50s. The boomers all of a sudden jumped a few generations. Now they're fucking – makes no sense, dude. I'm fucking – ugh. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get on a soapbox. I'm just tired of it, especially with Star Trek though. Like how are you going to say forced diversity when you're watching fucking Star Trek?
Right.
Fuck out of here. Star Trek's done that since day one. They had a horror on there. And I remember somebody said online – they were like, oh, but this was their justification. Well, Uhura wasn't an important character, though. And I go, first of all, if you're on the bridge, you're in command.
Right.
Okay? So, yes, she was. It means when she left that bridge, people said, yes, ma'am, when she spoke. Okay? So she was important. And second of all, what kind of dumbass rationality is that?
It's like, oh, well, it's okay. I'm not a racist because, you know, she was just not an important character. It's like, wow, okay.
She was, and then they had that first kiss. I like the. Have you ever heard the story of when they kissed in that episode?
Yeah.
Where fucking, I think it was Paramount at the time. No offense to current Paramount. Was it Paramount or CBS? I don't know. Fucking who ran the show back then? Paramount.
Well, it was Paramount, I think, because at first it was Desi Lu and then became Paramount.
Right. So I'm gonna say this real quick, just people don't know. Whatever, real quick, and then we'll end the show, I promise. They didn't want that kiss to happen, the studio, because what was it, the 60s? And
yeah, they were afraid the Southern affiliates weren't going to air the show.
Yeah, they were afraid that, you know, the show wasn't going to get aired, people were going to get pissed off. So Shatner actually was like, well, let's do a bunch of takes. I'll do a bunch of takes. Because they did it. Well, they did a bunch of takes for the kiss. And I remember,
he did a bunch of takes. Yes.
Right. And I remember the actress.
We'll do it with just a little bit of tongue. And then we'll pull it with my dick out.
What's her name? What's the actress who plays
Nichelle Nichols?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she even made a little joke. So I think he was enjoying that kiss a little too much. You did a couple of, and then they, he goes, but we'll do, and he told the studio, we'll do a take at the end, where I don't kiss her. And we'll see. We'll see which one works. But the thing was, is they only had enough tape. This is before digital. They only had enough reel for one more fucking take. So he ended that fucking take. He looked at the camera, like stuck his tongue out or something. He does something stupid that ruined the entire take. So they had no choice. They had to use one of the ones where they kissed. And I guess that was one of the tamer ones with the kiss. Even though it wasn't a very tame kiss. It was a pretty aggressive kiss, actually. But he had been going in. And I don't blame him. She was fine back then.
Oh, hell yeah.
And that was like the first interracial kiss on television. So to say Star Trek wasn't political, fuck out my face. You obviously ain't a Star Trek fan. I don't know what the fuck you've been watching.
Yeah, exactly. That's what a lot of people say. They're like going, oh, you've never watched Star Trek before, I'm assuming.
And even fucking Gene Roddenberry was all about that shit.
Yeah.
I remember interviews of him, even in the 60s. He's like, this racism is trash. Like, he was all about it. And he also liked the ladies. You feel me? You know? But anyway.
Thanks for tuning in to our TED Talk.
Just saying, treat people right, bro. Don't focus on stupid little made up things. Like this whole white people don't exist. You're American. Stop it. You know, or fucking just all that kind of summing up shit. Like everyone's against everybody. Like get a fucking job. Like stop fucking do something constructive and shut the fuck up. You know, I honestly think using the internet, you should get a license.
Right.
Just saying. Steve gonna get a license too. He'd be running his mouth too. Okay. Be on fucking Twitter going ham. What did you say to there's something in California going on right now that Newsom, they're trying to get this other dude who looks like a crazy racist dude.
Yeah.
I was like, who votes for this dude? Every video I see of him, sounds like a whack job.
Yeah, there's a couple of them and they're all fucking wackos. And trying to recall Newsom. The election's good. I got to turn in my ballot. But yeah, they've got that going on.
No one's going to vote out Newsom because of that haircut. That motherfucker looks so LA. It's painful. I don't know.
Yeah,
I know
Newsom. Oh, because they were saying that, yeah, we got to vote out Newsom because he's arrogant and something else. I'm like, oh, and the last guy wasn't? Like, you know, Trump wasn't? Like, give me a break.
Politicians are arrogant, bro. It doesn't matter what side. You're in a leadership role. This is what we talked about in the last podcast. You can't be in a leadership role and not be a little bit of a dick.
Yeah.
You know, it is what
actually, that was before the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. You have to be able to tell people to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm talking, shut up.
You got to command. You have to command a room. That's how it works, yeah.
So, I don't know.
So, we'll see.
We'll see what happens with that. But yeah, I watched that video. And I'm like, what did he say? What did he say? What the fuck? Thanks for tuning in, ladies and germs. We want to ditch the ads and be independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can, help us out monetarily. You can share the shows with your buddies.
I don't know why that joke isn't getting old for me.
I know, I'm surprised. You can share the show with your friends, or even not your friends, we don't care.
Share with whoever.
Share with whoever, and rate the show on iTunes. Let us, and if you're rating the show on Apple Podcasts or iTunes or whatever it is, let us know if you agree with Mayweather not being the greatest, like, mountain climber, spelunking kind of guy. Because
I don't even think that's an opinion.
I mean, because every time we've seen him, he's always gotten hurt. So let us.
I don't think he should be on away team missions. He's a fucking liability.
Exactly, dude. You know. And which part of Trip getting annoyed by the Nanobulans did you like best? So be sure to put those in the reviews. That'd be awesome. I'd love to see some of that stuff. And all of that stuff, you know, gives us bigger exposure, allows people to see what we're about and what's good about us. So
right.
Let them know that it's all good. And so this will help raise our profile. So make it so.
Make it so. I'm also surprised that Trip didn't have sex with that female Denobian scientist that was down there.
Oh, he did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It was just off camera.
It was just, yeah, it was while she was climbing up.
Yeah, it was. While she was climbing, he was climbing.
Exactly. You feel me?
You can check out all the other shows available on the Lazy Geeks Network.
He literally shot her in the ass.
Whoa. You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, and Steve's new podcast, the Gen Xer podcast. All are available wherever you got this fucking show. So
if you want to be a part of this show, hit us up in the comments, questions, or ideas for future episodes. Catch us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all under at The Lazy Geeks, all one word. Or email us, theawayteam@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Toot-a-beam up.